Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written in the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd for my people.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time where the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word to me, so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had been seeing at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gold, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated. Have you ever noticed how people receive gifts? People receive gifts in maybe at least two ways. One of them, of course, is, "Oh, finally. Finally, I get what I wanted. Finally, I get what I deserve. Finally, I got what I've been working so hard for. Thank God I finally got it." And that kind of individual shows a certain kind of arrogance, perhaps, in the way they receive the gift, because they don't seem to really appreciate it. They think they've really earned that particular gift. Then there's other kinds of people who, when they receive a gift, they're like overwhelmed. They feel so bashful. They feel as though they're so unworthy of what's going on. I mean, they feel as though this is something that they did not earn at all, but it was such a grace given to them. And then when they receive it, they feel as though they have to maybe even joy and share the joy with somebody else. This is a different kind. This is a kind of a way of re-gifting what you have received as a gift, passing on something that you have received that has blessed you. And in today's scriptures, for example, we read in the book of Isaiah is speaking about the Jewish people receiving God's blessing, receiving God's direction, God's light. God is telling the Jewish people, all the nations will go to you, all the nations will be blessed by you. But he's telling them that all the nations will be part of who they are, not that they're going to be any better than any of the nations, but that they're going to have to share what they have. And I think this has been a problem for many of the Jewish writings sometimes, that they think there's something separate from the original blessing that they are supposed to bring to other people. In the second reading today from the book of Ephesians, we hear that Paul is talking about the expanding circle of God's grace, about people and the nations being blessed, about others receiving the light that God has given to the world. And Paul, by the way, if you don't remember, had a difficult time with his own people. I mean, there was a division immediately between the Christian church at that point because some of the people wanted to retain some of the Jewish traditions, i.e., for example, you know, the circumcision, following the Ten Commandments, not eating blood, meat, and so forth. And so there was a real big separation between those. And then you had people who were called Jewish Christians, and you had others that were called Gentile Christians. And these two were kind of different in what's going on. And so these individual groups began to see and began to build walls between them. And I say to myself, really, how different are we today? How different are we with our own faith that we think that Christianity is like a country club? That we have to build walls, that we have to build barriers, that we have to build separations between ourselves because we don't particularly like the way one set of people worship and one set of people believe in God. The idea of Christianity is that it's a gift for all. And it's a gift that gives. It becomes a gift only when you share it with other people, not when you try to pull it back. And so today, I was reminded also about the AA step. I don't know if any of you have been involved in AA or heard about AA. The 12th step is that when you finally receive help, and you receive insight, and you receive that sense of being healed again, What do? You're supposed to give it to somebody else. You're supposed to pass it on. And you know, the best thing that you can learn sometimes is by doing it. I mean, I've been preaching for many years here and other places, and I really get to learn more about it when I do it, when I talk about it, when I try to live it out, than just when I think about it. So sometimes the best way to learn is to teach. And then the question is, am I doing it right? Am I sharing it right? Am I enjoying it? Am I passing it on? And so today what we're celebrating is the feast of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. It's called Epiphany. God manifests himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And this Epiphany is a gift that God gives to people. And the way it's structured in the Gospel of Matthew is very interesting. The people that come, the wise men, people think, how many were there? Were there three? Tradition teaches us, right, that there are three. But they could have been two. They could have been five. They could have been maybe 15. Were they kings? Probably not. But we think they are. We made a whole tradition about them being kings. And so we make this tradition. But the truth is, these people who came, these wise men, came and they were not Christians at all. They were Gentiles. They had nothing to do with the Jewish faith. What they did is they followed the star. They saw something in the heavens. They saw something in their traditional worship pattern that illuminated them to something great that was happening in the Jewish place of Bethlehem. And when they came, Herod, of course, the first thing he wanted to do was protect his own kingdom. So he wanted to make sure that he was covered. And what he did in the end, eventually, he sent this order, an edict, to kill all the children under 2 years old because he wanted to get rid of the Messiah, as he thought would be born during that time. But these gentlemen come and they offer something to this new child in a way that is gifted because they love what's happening. They see what's happening in the world and they want to offer these gifts. And the gifts have made many different interpretations of the gift. For instance, gold is for kind of eternal life. You know, the frankincense is for wisdom, and the myrrh is for healing and fullness of life and so forth. But they come and they risk everything to come and offer Jesus this homage. And so the question is, when God gives us something in the world, why is it that we still want to protect it? Why is it that we feel that we're the only ones deserving of it? This Epiphany is an opportunity not only for us to see God flashing into the nature of our lives, but to also allow God to flash through our lives to others. It's a gift that we have to pass on. It's not something that we can own. We cannot possess this kind of love. We have to pass it on. We have to give it to other folks. This is something that we can only realize by sharing. We can only realize by giving it back. You know? Really, what is it that we have in our lives that we possess? We have money? Do we have power? Do we have possessions? In the end, we really have nothing, because when we go into the grave, we go bare, naked. What is it that we share with each other? What is it that we can give to each other? It's a way of lifting each other up with the joy of being a child of God, or being able to celebrate that we are all together in this world, in this time. Imagine us being like in a ship. You know, we're all shipmates. And we're going to go through the ship, and we're all going to have different kinds of experiences. Some of us are going to get sick. Some of us are going to get married. Some of us will have children. Some of us will move on. But we're sharing this time. And if you can see the world as a time frame, and that we're all part of this time frame, moving on to something, we really feel connected. We really feel part of something that's happening to us and with us. So today, the idea of Epiphany is an opportunity to remember that the gift that we receive now is something that we pass along. We give it to other people. We don't build walls again. We don't possess God. We don't possess the gospel. We don't possess the Christ child. We have to be able to pass it on. And so it's interesting to me that in the Gospel of Matthew, he sends three of these people that come from a different place, that are not even Christians. I don't know. They're Persians, probably. And what they did is they came and worshiped Jesus. So today, we don't need to build walls. What we need to do is build bridges between ourselves. We need to open ourselves to the difference. I mean, God didn't come to us in one way specifically. He came in a way that was inviting to all. And the Christian story of the child is one that appeals to all of us, no matter what race, what culture, what religion we're in. And so today, I was reminded of a story, a movie actually, that I saw some years ago. It's called La Misma Luna. It's a Spanish movie. And it's about a Mexican boy who was separated from his mother because she crossed the border. And he was trying to get himself to cross the border and be part of with her again. And what kept him animated was the fact that he looked at the moon. And he said to himself, the same moon that is on my mother's side is with me. And this is what connects us. Really, let's think about it. If we divide God, with boundaries or walls, what side will God be on? Mm. Is he going to be on your side? He may be on the other side. How do we know? Let's not build walls anymore between ourselves. Let's try and figure out ways to be more dialogical, more relational with each other, to try to give each other the benefit of the doubt, to listen with true understanding, with real openness about what that person is. Their experiences are very different. You've heard that phrase. Sometimes people walk away and they have horrible things in their life. If you take a moment to even ask them, how are you, and share with them, you really open their lives up again. Isn't that what we're part to do, to give? When you give, you get. When you try to keep, you don't get anything. So the gospel is about giving, re-gifting, sharing the love that we receive. And now with Christmas just almost completed, we have this gift in the world, the reincarnation of God, the gift of life and of peace and of reconciliation that we have now. This is something that we could all share between us. Let's not divide it. Let's not make walls. Let's just say in and out. God doesn't. We're not a country club. Some people think the Christian faith is a country club. You know, you need a card-carrying thing to get in, you know. We're much more than that. We are children of God. We're same blood, the same genes that we carry within us. And so today's Epiphany is the beginning of a holiday that we celebrate for at least 5-6 weeks. And it's a reminder, more than anything else, that we are very similar, that we share a common life and a common faith and a common joy and hope together. So when you see somebody else who's different, take a little bit extra time to try to understand what they're about. And you'll be surprised sometimes that they're very, very interesting, that they offer you something new, that they actually challenge you, and that they gift you with who they are and their own being. So these strangers come to offer Christ, and they offer not the Christ that we want to possess, but the Christ that belongs to all. And in the end, if the love that God offers us is one that we divide, it cannot be love. It has to be a love that we share amongst all of us. It cannot be boarded up or separated or divided. It is one for all. And if we see it that way, then we will adapt to that. We will adjust to that and understand that God is a very rich and loving God through us.
Amen.